What is up, Tan and J-Man Show Nation? It is Monday night, March 23rd, 2026, episode 488 of the Tan and J-Man Show is live on the IC Sports Network, along with their Twitch channel, their X account, and their YouTube channel, and also live on the Tan and J-Man Show YouTube channel and Facebook page. Hit that like button, that subscribe button, that notification bell, all that good stuff. So you know when we're going live each and every Monday night. I'm Tanner Lee. Across from me on the screen, and he's got himself muted, is Josh the J-Man Mutt. J-Man, what's going on? I think J-Man might be having some connection issues, I think. I can see him, but I can't hear him. It looks like he's muted, and it won't let me unmute him. So I guess he'll get that figured out. Maybe he'll have to pop out and pop back in. But I hope everybody's off to a fantastic start to their week. Great time to be a basketball fan, a college basketball fan, I should say. March Madness, rounds one and two are in the books, with the regional rounds, the Sweet 16, and the Elite Eight coming up at the end tail of this week and weekend. And a week from now, we'll know the last four teams. The final four will be set in Indianapolis. So exciting stuff. Jamin's got the birdie or bogey this week, so I will wait for him to re-enter the chat for that. And I want to get an update from him as far as what the standings look like on the year. I know I took a bogey last time, I believe, maybe a par, but he got a birdie last week. So he gained a stroke up on me, no matter where we're sitting, but he'll let us know. But, and it looks like maybe he's,
my bad.
There he is. There he is.
I'm here. My computer had died over the weekend and I was unaware.
All good. Gotta love technology.
I'm here.
How you doing, J-Man?
I'm doing all right. How you doing, 90-dog?
Doing good. Doing good. Like I was saying in the intro, you know, it's a great time to be a college basketball fan, especially if your team's still in it. Mm-hmm. And luckily, but both of our teams are in it, and six teams from the Big Ten are still in it. Amazingly enough, six out of 16. In a week from tonight, we'll be talking about the Final Four. Pretty great.
Yeah, it's it always is amazing how fast the tournament goes. I mean, you only have 4 days a weekend for it, and then bam, you're here already. So, fun time of year. We had some warmer weather over the weekend, which was nice. Now it's colder again, but now it's supposed to get warmer again by the end of the week. It's nice. This is now two of the last 3 years that we've both had our teams in the Sweet 16, which is the first time, obviously, it's the first time for me that they've been in it this consistently, although two out of three is not all that consistent, but it's nice to be back again.
Yeah, Purdue's three out of the last 4 years, and if we're going back farther, seven out of the last nine.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because people do forget, even though they lost to St. Peter's, it was in the Sweet 16.
It was in the Sweet 16.
People forget that. So.
Yeah, I kind of forgot that too. I knew it was, but at the same time, well, I think they lost to a 15 seed. Oh, that was Sweet 16, wasn't it? Yeah. Seven of the last nine, and I think the longest streak right now is Houston with seven straight they've been to, which is remarkable. It's so hard to get to a Sweet 16 too. You got to have a good draw. You obviously have to play well, to do it. Seven of 9 years is incredible. 7 years in a row is insane. Even Arkansas, believe it or not, has been there four straight years, but no one's even talked. No, Alabama. Was it Alabama or Arkansas? One of the two has been there four straight years. I saw it today. I know it starts with an A. It's fun. We have kind of seen, I think Cinderella is kind of dead with NIL.
Definitely dead.
And Portal. Sure, we have an 11 seed in the Sweet 16. That 11 seed is Texas. So you can't call them Cinderella at all. We saw really one significant-ish upset with 12 over 5, High Point beating Wisconsin, and that was pretty much it. The 13 through 16 seeds, for the most part, were straight up whoopings in round one. Duke struggled for majority of the game, I would say, against 16 seed Siena.
You can make a good argument they should have got beat.
Should have, yeah. I was not able to watch any of that game, but I'm sure they got a very friendly whistle.
Siena missed a lot of shots around the rim and had a lot of them go down and out to where it's like, okay, I don't think the basketball gods are on their side today. Yeah. And then, of course, they just got tired because they never subbed. So.
I was just about to say, it sounded like they only had really seven players they could legitimately play that were healthy. And so Jerry McNamara just didn't really was able to sub at all.
Nope.
And I'm sure by, you know, the end of the game, they were just dead.
Yeah.
Dead legs, all of that. But a heck of a fight.
Oh, sure.
But other than that, I mean, was there a game that was all that close?
Well, we had some good game. I mean, some good games.
We did, but I'm
talking. Nebraska Vanderbilt was a classic.
Yeah, I'm talking mainly the 13 through 16 seeds in round one. There were some games that were tight-ish for
half.
Some of the first half, like I know Illinois was only up 4 on Penn with like 8 minutes left in the half. Purdue was only up, I think, 4 on Queens with about the same amount of time. Then they ended up getting up double digits by halftime and ended up just.
Well, was it out Howard? Howard was within 4 or 6 at half.
They were. They hung in there. You knew that wasn't going to last. Kind of concerning you give up 80 points to Howard, though, in round one. It didn't matter in round two. They handled St. Louis. Fairly easily, but we'll get more into college basketball and the NCAA tournament here in a little bit. But first, I do have a birdie bogey for you.
Where I know I ask you every week this, but where are we sitting?
Standings.
I know you just got a birdie last week. So.
I did. I believe you are up one stroke on me. I'm going to pull it up real quick. Forgot to do that. Our good friend gave you a question last week. And he felt bad about it because I put him on blast that he sent me something he saw. I'm not going to use that question though. It's a very hard question. I think I'm going to wait in two weeks, but I saw this one yesterday and I like this question, better. You are up +1 to +2. So
okay.
Currently one stroke lead. There's only one school in college sports that has won a bowl game, an NCAA tournament game in the men's, and an NCAA tournament game in the women's. Can you name that school? I see you smiling. Did you see it?
Yeah, I saw it.
Ah, shoot.
Can shoot. I just say it now?
Yeah, you can just say it now.
Illinois.
Yeah, it's Illinois.
Because I was going to text it to the group last night saying, congratulations, J-Man, and then I decided not to.
Shoot. Back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, that's never happened.
Man, that's never happened.
You're into the pond. That's never happened.
Oh, man, that's tense.
We're going to have to start digging deep. That'd be
I know. I'm surprised you saw it because I didn't see anyone else tweet except the Illinois.
I came across it. I don't know. Somebody must have retweeted it on my feed or something. And I was going to send it to the group. They're like, nah, I don't know why I didn't. I decided not to.
I wish you would have now.
Yeah.
I wouldn't.
Glad I didn't.
Anyway, they are the only school with a bowl win.
That's pretty good.
Men's NCAA tourney win and a women's NCAA tourney win in each of the last two seasons. Let's pull up here the read. I will have it ready for you. Birdie or Bogey is brought to you by Giretti's Plays. Small town vibes, big time flavor. Giretti's Plays serves up fresh breakfast and lunch favorites that keep you coming back for more. Located 703 Main Street in Rochester, Indiana.
Like I was saying last week, they got great specials. Weekend specials go on through this end of this weekend through March. Trip Tacos, Carolina Burgers, new appetizers such as 6-piece boneless wings, broccoli cheddar bites, sweet potato fries, cheesy potatoes, great soups every day such as loaded baked potato, creamy chicken wild rice, cactus chili, and broccoli and cheddars. Go check them out.
I got to know what cactus chili is.
I've had it. It's similar to chili, but it's very sweet. A very sweet chili.
So. I know they say I've never had cactus before, but they say it has a sweetness to it. So
yeah, it's good for hydration too, I believe, because it's full of water.
Full of water. It's the way it's got to survive.
Yes, yeah, sir.
In the desert.
I'm going to hit you with the blind rankings already, because it's actually not college basketball related. It's MLB related.
Yeah, so I texted Tanner yesterday because we were going to do our Major League Baseball preview today, and I didn't forget I just didn't have the energy to do any sort of research this past week, and then I was gone all weekend. So we're going to push her back to next Monday.
Well, let's be honest. We won't even be out a week into the season.
Yeah, it doesn't make
that much of a dent unless somebody blows their ACL or something.
We could honestly probably do this at the beginning of June, and it'd still be fine.
You're probably right.
But, yeah, next week will be fine. Yeah, we'll be 3-4 games into the season or so. But
Last year around this time, I went back – or last year at this time, I did a – I had you do a blind rankings of Cubs opening day starters.
Oh,
and I went back and listened, and I was going to do the ones I hadn't done, but they don't, they had a lot of guys start 3, 4, 5 years.
Carlos Zambrano started a bunch.
Right. And then, so I'm like, I'm not going to do that, but I did go with Cub opening day starters, but I just picked a random position. This is since 2000. Second baseman.
I like it.
Cubs starting second baseman.
All right.
On opening day.
Since 2000. All right.
Since 2000. Starting with Javier Baez.
He started at second, huh? Opening day.
Yeah, 2 years in a row.
Oh man, what do you have the years there written? Because I want to guess which year.
I can find them. I can find them.
I'm gonna say Javier Baez started at second base to open 2017. And that would be probably 2018 as well. Then, because I think he was full time shortstop about halfway through that season.
Let me find it here. Sorry. Let me get this.
I'm going to put him, man. He was awesome for 3 years.
There we go.
There. I'm going to.
He started second base in 17 and 18.
17 and 18. That's what I thought. I'm going to put him at number two because he did a majority of his work as a shortstop. Like, his really good stuff was at shortstop. He was obviously very good at second, too, but I'm going to put him number two.
A name I forgot until today, Mark Grzelanek.
Mark Grudzy. Loved Grudzy.
What years? 2003,
2004.
You got it.
Grudzy. He was good. He was in an era where you had your second baseman that would hit number two in the lineup, low on base, low power, but he made a ton of contact. He had two pretty good years. I'm gonna put him at four.
Man, the Cubs won 4 opening days in a row from 03 to 06.
And I think they lost 4 in a row after that. I'm just kidding. I don't think they did.
They lost back to back, but it's like they win one, lose one, win one, lose one, off and on every year.
Yeah. I don't even remember who they opened. They won opening day last year. No, they didn't. They were in Japan.
Lost 4-1 Dodgers. Yeah. Year before was 4-3 to the Rangers.
Yeah.
All right. Back to the list. Here we go. Mike Fontenot.
Fontenot. He started on opening day at second base once, huh?
2 years in a row.
2 years in a row. 2009 and 2010.
You got it.
Those are. Yep. I'm gonna put him five. Sorry, Camo. If he
that's
listens
the only week. Reason I put him on here.
Camo
took me back to fun discussions back in those days.
Lefty hitting second baseman were our friend Cameron Screeton's forte back then. He loved Fontenot.
Darwin Barney.
Yeah. he would have started on opening day in how many years?
Three different times. But not 3 consecutive years.
Not 3 consecutive years. That throws me off a little bit. I'm going to go 2011.
Yep.
2012.
Yep.
And then that would have to be 2014 then, right?
Yes. In 13, Lillibridge.
Brent Lillibridge.
Started at second base. This is on baseballreference.com.
He stunk. I do remember him starting. I do remember him starting opening day 1 year. I think he ended up 1-for-24 in his Cubs career, if I'm not mistaken. He was horrendous. Just horrendous. I'm gonna put Darwin at three. He had at one time the longest or second. I think it ended up being the longest airless streak ever for a second baseman.
I saw him hit a home run in April of 2011.
That's shocking that he was able to hit a home run in the cold, because he was about – he was
barely reached the basket. Yeah. That was the Starlin Castro multiple errors game.
That doesn't narrow it down as much as it probably should. But
I think it was like early in his – like. It yeah, was like, at that time it was rare. And then,
yeah. It was like a three air game. He was
pretty sure Garza pitched that night. I don't know. It was so cold.
That game stunk.
It was miserable.
I remember Darren Barney did hit a walk off home run one time, which was shocking. He still hung around in baseball until, like, I'd say 2018 or 19 with the Blue Jays.
So you got the one spot left.
Yep.
I think you're going to be pretty happy. Ben Zobrist.
Zobrist, yep. He would have started opening day in how many years?
1 year.
2016 then, right? Yep. Because then they probably played him and left a bunch after that, because Hoppy was at second. I'm okay with that being number one. I was actually holding number one out for Nico Horner. I love Nico to death.
Zobrist only started one other opening day for the Cubs. Nope, two more. But not a left. Not at left.
Right?
Right field in 2017, DH in 2019.
DH, okay.
And he wasn't in the starting lineup in 2018. Was he hurt?
Is he hurt? He might have been hurt. 1 year he had I think 2018 he had a bad year. And yeah. I think 2019 was the year he dealt with some off-the-field issues that were, he missed 2 months maybe. Interesting, only three times. Yeah, I'm okay with number one. I'd flop. I'd move Barney to. I'd definitely flop Grudzlanek and Barney. And I'd probably. I'd flip a coin for Barney and Fontenot. Fontenot is a much better hitter, offensive player, but Barney could absolutely pick it at second. So I'm okay. Barney at four.
I'm gonna test your knowledge on second baseman now. All going right. back to 2000. I want you to see if you can name how many you can name of the years I didn't pick or the guys that didn't pick. So this guy started in 2000, 2001.
Eric Young.
How about 2002?
2002. That team lost 90-something games.
It's a pretty bad lineup looking at it.
2002. Mark Bellhorn.
Good guess. No, he started the following year at shortstop.
Shortstop?
Yeah.
Who was it?
Nope, I'm sorry. He was third base the next year.
That makes more sense.
02 was the Shields.
Oh, Delino the Shields?
Yeah. How about 05, 06?
Todd Walker.
Todd Walker. I about put him on the list. How about 07, 08?
2007. Mark DeRosa.
Yep. Now we got to go clear up to 2015.
2015 to start the season. Starlin was at short. Addison Russell was still in the minors. Zobrist wasn't there yet. Javi wasn't up. Jonathan Herrera.
La Stella.
Tommy La Stella started opening day. I don't remember that at all. Dang.
Once again, this is baseballreference.com.
So no, I believe it for sure.
2019
opening day second baseman that wasn't Zobrist, wasn't Javi.
Nope, Javi was starting, but that's short.
He's shortstop, yeah. And Zobrist was in right.
Yeah, Zobrist DH in
2019. DH.
So right field was Hayward.
Wait, that makes sense. Where'd they open up? If they're DH
at Texas, they won 12-4.
I do remember the game at Texas. Do I remember who plays second base? I do not. It's going to make me very mad when I hear it. Give it to me.
Bodie.
David Bodie. It doesn't make me mad at all. He started opening day. They must have been facing they're facing Mike Minor. Were they facing Mike Minor?
I would have to.
I would imagine they're facing lefty, and was it Mike Minor? I don't remember.
How about 2020?
2020, that year stunk for a multitude of reasons. Did Nico start the year at second to open?
Yes.
Okay, he had a terrible year.
2021,
I think Nico was hurt some that year. Oh, gosh, Josh. I'm embarrassed. I was better with the early 2000s than I am the recent history. Who was on their team?
It's kind of an interesting position. There's not a lot of continuity at second base over the years.
No. They had the core there. Schwarber was no longer there. 2021 opening day. So I don't remember.
Bodie.
What in the world's up with him starting two opening days? They must have been facing a lefty again.
They lost to Pittsburgh 5-3.
I don't remember that opening day at all.
How about 2022?
Wasn't Nico? Nico was probably starting at shortstop. This is embarrassing. That team was terrible. They lost 90-something games.
You've said that a couple of times.
I know I have. 2022. Good Lord. It's going to make it. If it's Bodie again.
They won over the Brewers 5-4 this day at home.
They won over the Brewers. Oh, I do remember that. Nico hit a homer off of their good pitcher that now pitches for the Arizona Diamondbacks. That's hurt. My brain's not working today, man.
You were ready for college basketball, and I threw a bunch of baseball.
I know. It's thrown me off. Who was it?
Nick Madrigal.
Oh, I should have got that. That dude stunk. It's been Nico the past 3 years, I imagine.
23-24, but not last year.
Nico was probably DH because he had a elbow issue. He didn't play. Oh, it was Japan. He wasn't healthy yet. I wasn't able to watch it at all because it was at 3 a.m. And those games are so forgettable. Again, I forgot multiple times it started in Japan like 2 weeks before the actual season started. Matt Shaw?
No, he was third base.
I don't even remember who was on their roster in that Japan series. Who was it? John Birdie started game one.
Yeah.
You could tell me like who was their second baseman for a majority of the season. I would have gotten them, but John Birdie, I can't believe he started. I don't remember that at all. And that was just a year ago.
Yeah, this was a great position for the Cubs in the '80s with Sandberg. But after that,
It's a whole bunch
hit
of
hit or miss.
Yeah.
A lot of miss.
I have Mickey Morandini probably started.
Yep. Yeah. 99 and 98. Yep.
Ah, man. I like that, though. Second baseman, that was random.
It was. Well, I looked at the list. I'm like, there's not – because the other positions, you have guys in stretches 4 years, 5 years, some like 6 or 7 years in a row.
Yeah.
This was the only one that didn't really have that. So, besides Sandberg back in the 80s.
Yeah, for the most part, I mean, they were pretty set at first base, especially for, 15 years with Derek Lee, then straight to Rizzo pretty much. Yep. But after that –
I thought about doing catchers, but second base.
Catchers would have been interesting.
Maybe I'll pull one out later this year sometime.
So. Yeah. I gotta be ready for it
to study.
I gotta go study who the opening day catcher in 2003 was. Probably Damian Miller. Probably already answered my question.
I just exited it out. So
that's all right. That's all right. I don't need you to.
I'll tell you what you need to do in your free time, which I know you don't get a lot of free time with a little one, but if you get free time, download the app Sporkle. It's a quiz app.
Yeah.
And you can I just quiz myself on random sports stuff all the time. Just try to keep it fresh. Then I get mad. So when I don't do good, I get mad. So
yeah.
That is not the on this day list. I brought up the wrong bump. It's the Blind Ranking segment, which is brought to you by Performer Prints U Promo Group. If you're looking for a trustworthy, dependable resource for next trade show, company picnic, or sales meeting in 2026, Performer Prints U Promo Group has over 50 years combined experience in promotional products and commercial print. They strive for fast and efficient response to all your print needs, so you need to look no further. Let them be your one-source print and promotional company today by giving Barbara Van Weinsberg a call at 574-210-3815. How's your bracket looking, Jay, man? Mine's not
very good. I haven't even looked at my bracket. I don't think it's in her. I went a lot of chalk this year.
Yeah.
I think I did have Gonzaga in the Final Four for some stupid reason. I never should ever pick Gonzaga to make a Final Four, but here we are.
Don't pick anybody from that conference.
Yeah, that conference is now pretty much defunct. And I imagine it'll get even worse once Randy Bennett left today.
Yeah. Yep.
Which I think probably Gonzaga moving to, they're going Pac-12, right?
Pac-12, yeah.
I think that probably played a role in Randy Bennett leaving.
Sure.
Let's see here for my brackets.
I got my final four still in it, but I only have six of my eight Elite Eight left. I had UCLA and Vanderbilt both making the Elite Eight. Whiffed on those. So,
well, I lost Florida. I'm doing pretty good in the for some reason it's not pulling up my actual bracket and it's making me mad. Because all it's doing is pulling up the bracket that I'm ranked 11 millionth on ESPN.
So I'm 19th. They're doing better than me. I'm 19 million.
I'm in the 58th percentile, which is okay.
It was the worst first round I've ever had. I missed more first round games than I ever have. So
finally pulled it up. I took Louisville over Michigan State. I don't remember doing that. I didn't know Michael Brown was out yet.
I had USF in the Sweet 16, so I do, bad.
I do remember that. In the South, I missed on – oh, I had Vanderbilt in the Elite Eight as well. I whiffed on that one. I had – oh, I had Hofstra over Alabama and then Texas Tech over Hofstra.
I had Bama's 16. I got that right.
My West region, I had Gonzaga over BYU and then Gonzaga over Purdue and then Gonzaga over Arizona, which was incredibly stupid. I should have never done that.
I don't think Mark Few is ever going to get it done there, fortunately.
No, I agree. I think, I think they'll struggle. I don't think they're struggling too bad in the NIL. They'll still probably run through the Pac-12, but at least it gives them a little more competition.
Do you think that's a job though that's going to really fall after he retires? Because yes. I think he'll take a big step back.
100%. He's made that job.
Uh-huh.
I know like Stockton played there and stuff, but
yeah, I remember they made the Sweet 16 and in 2000 Purdue beat them in the Sweet 16, but that's when they were starting to roll a little bit.
Yeah,
and then Few took them that extra mile.
Yeah, was that Dan Munson? Was that his name? Who ended up going to Minnesota? Stan Munson was football.
No, you're right. It was Munson. Glenn Mason is football.
That's right. That's right.
They're very similar, kind of. But yeah,
I think Gonzaga will fall off for sure. Utah State lost their coach to Cincinnati today. Utah State has had a pretty incredible string of hiring coaches that get poached. Which means you're doing something right, obviously. They make the tourney every year. They always get beat early, but again, they're always in that 8-9 game, so it's hard to get past that one seed.
And I believe they're going to be in the Pac-12, I believe.
Are they? Okay.
I think cool. So. I think. I mean, it's Oregon State, Washington State, then just a mixed match of like Mountain West and WAC and
Which the Mountain West was – it was rougher this year. I think they were a one-bid league, but for a couple years –
sure.
They've been a multiple bid league and they've been a very good basketball conference. So hopefully that will maybe not propel up to a high major level of conference, but at least give the West Coast some sort of conference to fall back on because there's nothing out there now.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we kind of went over to some of the upset surprises, but who has surprised you as well as they're playing?
Looking at my bracket here, Iowa, I think, is the biggest surprise, right?
Yeah. I had them losing to Clemson. I hated the way they were playing.
So did I. They kind of limped it to the finish line a little bit. And then, we're able to handle Clemson. And then they were very fortunate, obviously, to beat Florida. I thought Florida played probably the worst game of the year, one of their worst games of the year. It's tournament. Yeah, you play bad once and you're done. But Iowa really, really flustered them to the point where Florida started getting frustrated and they started playing a little dirty. And Iowa was able to hit a big shot. I thought it was a stupid move. To press on that final possession that Iowa had, left the guy wide open in the corner. They were almost going for a trap, it looked like, which I thought was stupid. Sure, you want to get the ball out of Sturt's hand, great, but not to a wide open, good 3-point shooter in the corner. And Todd Golden said after the game, it was a 2-point game at that time, he said that their plan was to foul a role player and see if he could make two straight free throws.
Never heard of somebody doing that before.
I haven't either, but at the same time, when I'm watching, I'm like, I think they should foul. Just so,
yes, yeah, probably one, smarter they, to do that in the tournament in the pressure situation.
Yes, than regular season for sure. Because then, and I've almost been in favor of it in the past, just because, like, you know, they hit both free throws great. You still have a chance with 6 or 7 seconds left to go hit a shot at the buzzer. If you miss it, you go to overtime regardless. You're not going to lose. Where if you give up a three, you're losing. And they hit it, you're losing.
Yeah.
So that would have been interesting if that were to play out. I think the media would have crucified him. The player he thought they were only up three, that sort of thing.
Sure would have, yeah.
Credit Iowa. Now, man, Iowa and Nebraska is going to be in Elite Eight.
Who would have thunk it? And if your boys win, they're facing one of them to get to the Final Four, which is, like, you got to feel good, but at the same time, terrify you.
100%. I was literally thinking that today. Like, that's like best case scenario, honestly, because you're familiar with both programs. I think Illinois would be favored by probably 6.5, 7.5 points, something like that, against both of them. But at the same time, you lose to one of them, and you just feel horrendous.
Yeah.
I was 100% rooting for Florida, because I think for the fact, I think Illinois can beat Florida anyway. But if Illinois loses to Florida, I can handle it. If they lose to Iowa or Nebraska, it's going to take me a while to get over that. And of course, I don't think they'll beat Houston, because of the 15 other teams left in the tourney, I think Houston is the one team I do not want to face. It's like the last team I would like to face.
And you have to play right in their backyard.
Have to play in Houston. You know for a fact, they probably should root for Illinois, but I have a hard time thinking Iowa or Nebraska fans will root for Illinois at all.
They won't.
So it'll be, you know, 3-1 there. And Houston's tough as nails. Of course, Illinois was fortunate enough to play an 11 seed in the round of 32. I think they would have handled North Carolina with ease anyway.
VCU was superior to North Carolina, to be honest.
Yes. I'm glad VCU advanced, because VCU plays a similar style of defense to Houston. Very, very physical. VCU, it looked like we're running like we're going to foul them every single possession and see if they call a ball sort of thing in the first half, especially. And I was getting really upset with that first half, just because it felt like Illinois was getting fouled every single time down. They weren't calling them, and Illinois turned the ball over a bunch.
You know, VCU did not shoot a free throw in the first half.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm like, if VCU still fouled more than Illinois did, and they didn't shoot a free throw, but it felt like Illinois was getting an unfriendly whistle. But that's just me being a fan as well.
Real quick, I do want to get to this comment. I do like this answer. Daryl Love on Facebook said Iowa State. I was going to say, they're probably the most impressive to me.
Yeah, that's a good pull. I mean, they killed Tennessee State. I checked my phone on, I think they played Friday, and they were up like 32-6.
Second media time.
Yeah. And then they killed Kentucky yesterday.
Arguably the best player.
Yeah, without Joshua Jefferson. And they think he'll be back for their game against Tennessee this week. Michigan, as we said, looked awfully impressive, especially Saturday, blowing out a very good St. Louis team.
And I think they got to feel good playing Alabama.
Yeah, I would think they feel pretty good, especially without Alabama's, you know, second leading scorer. Although Alabama still scored 90 points each of their first two games.
Yeah, Texas Tech looked terrible.
That's going to be a fan base and program that's like, man, what if? If JT Toppin doesn't get hurt, out for the season.
Something with the Toppins and what if.
Yeah, exactly. Are they related? Obi and
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Dayton fans are always going to wonder about the 2020 season.
They were probably going to be a one seed that year,
which is wild.
Which is crazy. But Tech was a 5 seed, but I think if Toppin's fully healthy for the entirety of the season, they're probably a 2 at worst. Maybe even a shoot up to a 1.
Yeah.
But here they are, around a 32 exit. Texas still being in is a shock, because they're in the last teams in. Gonzaga looked underwhelming against Kennesaw State, and that carried over to their game against Texas. They shouldn't have been a 3 seed. They probably should have been a 5 or 6. But the metrics love them, because they blow teams out in a really bad conference.
The next time Gonzaga plays, it'll be against Purdue, opening game in Vegas.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it'll be weird.
Miami handled Missouri. Missouri's lost like 9 of their last 10 NCAA tournaments.
They had so many fans there.
Who, Miami or Missouri?
No, Missouri.
Like, that makes sense.
I mean,
he's in St. Louis.
Like right when that game, like when they ran out of the court, my dad texted me like, rooting for Miami because this place is packed with Missouri. We don't want them on Sunday. Yeah. So.
Was your dad there at the game?
Yeah, my parents went to both games.
Awesome.
They're not going out to San Jose though.
No. Yeah, that'd be a hike. But yeah. And then Purdue was able obviously to take care of business against Queens. Braden Smith becomes the all time leading assist man in college basketball.
Yeah, when I made that bold prediction back in January, I really didn't think it was gonna happen. I was just throwing it out.
No.
I didn't think it was gonna happen going into the Big Ten tournament, but you play 4 days in a row and he puts up assists each game. So
That was pretty cool, and it was really cool. His first career assist was TKR in his,
what? No record breaker was a TKR, so yeah, pretty fitting.
Yeah, pretty fitting.
And speaking of TKR, he and Fletcher Lawyer are both playing outstanding basketball right now.
Yeah.
I mean, Braden Smith arguably had his worst game of his career yesterday.
He was bad.
Yeah. Tied his career high of 8 turnovers, and some of them were just kind of lazy ones. But those two played well. CJ Cox hit 3 huge threes in a row to keep them in it at a time where it looked like they might go down double digits at half. Oscar Clough's playing good basketball. I mean, they got a lot of guys peaking at the right time. So I feel pretty good, which scares me going into
the tournament. Lawyer had kind of been a lightning rod for a lot of fans' ire for most of the season. And he's shot the ball lights out here since Big Ten tournament started.
Mm-hmm.
Then Arkansas and High Point was in a fantastic game.
It was
back and forth. And I don't think a lot of eyeballs were on it because they were locked into the Nebraska Vanderbilt game, which I think is the game of the tourney so far.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That was awesome.
Great environment, too.
Oh man, those Nebraska fans, I give them credit. It was in Oklahoma City, so they had a short
travel. Good for them, though.
Good for them to finally get one. But the Oklahoma City arena there set decibel records during that Vanderbilt game that really shattered the NBA Finals last year. So that just shows that college basketball's better. That's just me saying that. But Arkansas is moving on. Arizona kind of had a slog of a game.
They survived in advance. Utah State would get to 4 and Arizona would do what they do. So
yeah, survive in advance. Yep. That's all that matters. But as I said, the game of the tourney probably is that Nebraska Vanderbilt game. Back and forth, back and forth. Bandy takes the lead. Nebraska gets it back. They get a 2-point lead, and then Tyler Tanner had ball go halfway down from half court.
That was closer than the Hayward shot in 2010.
Oh, by far, that thing was down.
Yeah.
And there's conspiracy, but also truth to the fact that they pumped the balls up to a super high PSI in the NCAA tournament every single year that players complain about it. If that was at a normal level, I think he banks that thing in and they win, and that's considered one of the greatest shots ever.
Oh, yeah.
But Nebraska advanced, and then we did see a true buzzer beater, the only one this tournament so far, and that was St. John's yesterday, who really choked. They were up 14 with
about seven minutes.
They're tough as heck.
They are.
They rebound, but yeah, they're not a good shooting team, and I think that will be their downfall. And that was their downfall last year, too.
Yep.
They were able to advance past Kansas, and I think it's probably going to happen that Bill Self will announce his retirement here within. Maybe not in the coming days, but in a few weeks, I would say.
I think that was in your bold predictions, I think.
It was, I think, last
year. Was it last year? Okay.
That a prominent coach would retire, and I think it would be Bill Self. So okay. I was maybe a year too late. But everything seems to be trending that way. Even his comments after the game said he loves what he does, but he wants to feel good while he does it. And, you know,
he looked miserable yesterday.
Yeah, he's had heart issues.
He looked miserable yesterday. They both looked unhappy the whole game. So
yeah, which is nothing compared to how Hurley and Cronin looked last night. When they were screaming at the officials. There was even one point where both teams got a bench warning, and Cronin and Hurley looked at each other and started laughing. That was pretty funny.
Yeah,
that ended up happening. But yeah, two of the most fiery coaches. In the game there, but Sweet 16 is always Sweet 16 and Elite Eight are always my favorite rounds. Round of 32 is good too, but now that we see, you know, less Cinderella, round of 64 is still fun, but there were a lot of blowouts. And there were a handful of good games. It started with two really good games. TCU winning by two against Ohio State. And then, of course, the great game, Wisconsin High Point. And I always feel like Friday is worse than Thursday. Because I think on Thursday you see some, you know, Wisconsin, number five seed, go down. And I think coaches are on their team like, see, that could happen to us tomorrow.
Exactly. Exactly. So it locks them in.
Yep, it locks them in more. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, Sweet 16 should be awfully fun. There's a lot of really good matchups.
Yeah, we can go through them if you want.
Let's do it. Starting with, you want to start with the East region. In Washington, D.C., I saw get-in-the-door tickets are over $1,000.
The tickets for March Madness anywhere this year are just crazy. I know, I believe they got cheaper than originally, but my parents got tickets Friday, or got tickets for Friday, went, and then they didn't have tickets Sunday. We're working on getting them. And on Saturday, they were trying to get them, and they were having trouble finding anything lower than 480. But I believe they did, but still. That's a piece, crazy. A piece, not for both.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, but it didn't help that Kentucky was there.
Yeah, it doesn't help either. So, I did see it was the most watched. We didn't talk
about that, Kentucky Santa Clara.
Oh yeah. That was a true buzzer beater. What am I talking about? Well, I guess it wasn't.
To take it to overtime. Beater. It was, but
to take it to overtime, yes. Yeah. And then a 30 footer after Santa Clara hits a three. First time in the tournament in 3 years or 30 years. That's
$22 million to lose in a round of 32.
I think if Kentucky would have lost that game, Pope might have been two and done. They are over him already. Yeah. Which is crazy. It's still, I mean, you can have the most expensive roster if your pieces don't fit.
Yeah.
It's not going to work.
Yeah, you got to get good players, but that fit. Exactly. You can't just buy the best talent.
Yeah. I mean,
even Dusty May somehow made it gel. So.
Yeah, he has, and they fit together, and it's annoying. Mm-hmm. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Where was I going? East region here. Yeah. Duke against St. John's.
Yeah, I think you summed up pretty good. I think St. John's hangs in there for a while, but in the end, I think Duke got their scare in round of 64, and it woke them up, so yeah. I got Duke.
They didn't play all that well against TCU for about the first 30 minutes. TCU even had the lead in the second half, and then Duke just did what they do and just blew them out. So give me Duke in that one as well. Michigan State against UConn.
Hate both programs. I think UConn gets it done, but I think it's tight. It would not shock me if Michigan State wins this game.
Yeah. Dan Hurley said that he reached out to Tom Izzo about the Lakers job a few years ago and got his advice on it. And he's a big reason why he stuck it in college.
Would have left.
Yeah. Give me UConn as well. Although, I'm switching it. Give me Michigan State. I think they have a chance. Everyone who's left has a chance, but I think Michigan State has as good a chance as any to get past a higher seed or a better seed, I should say. So give me Michigan State. South region, we have Iowa and Nebraska.
I like Nebraska.
I do too. I think their fans will pack the Houston Arena. I think they're so bought in, and you know, it's the first time ever here, obviously. They'd never been to the
doors off Troy.
They did. Yeah, that was a bad one by me. I think they were shell shocked. Troy was.
I think they were too.
Hearing that crowd.
Yeah.
It sounded like Pinnacle Bank Arena. Yeah. Honestly, that place gets loud. I'm in a position where I'm rooting for Nebraska, and I hate it because I dislike Iowa basketball so much. Yeah. Watch out for Ben McCollum to take the Kansas job, though.
That'd be funny.
That would be funny and hilarious. It'd probably be hard to sell to a fan base that, hey, this guy was at a D2 school 2 years ago and he's your new head coach, but he's a heck of a basketball coach.
Right.
You give him Kansas.
I'm guessing this guy doesn't have any ties. I don't know about his contract. How about Billy Donovan?
Maybe. I mean, he,
name. I don't know.
He's kind of the same as Stevens. He was kind of over. He was kind of over college basketball, 15 years ago. That's now,
true. So I think Kansas is the one job people would really have to think about. Like guys who you would think are automatic, no, because it is basketball there. And it is one of the premier jobs. So.
They're talking like maybe Jock Vaughn will be promoted, and that just won't work, in my opinion.
Nope.
But anyway, give me Nebraska. Illinois against Houston. I think I saw Houston's a 2.5 point favorite.
Yeah, I saw 3.5, but either way, it's close. Like I said, I feel bad for Illinois. That's in their in Houston's backyard. Yeah. But Houston last year had to go. It wasn't in the same city, but they had to play Purdue in Indianapolis.
In Indianapolis, so whatever.
So I guess it.
Just show up and play the games. I couldn't care less.
I think Illinois will scrap and claw Indiana. I think Houston wins by single digits.
Yeah, I think Houston's defense. It's a top five defense versus top five offense in the country. Defense for the most part usually wins. If Illinois hitting like they're capable of, they absolutely can win this game. Have to win the turnover battle, obviously. Illinois is bigger. They're bigger than everyone. They're the tallest team in the country, so I don't even know why I said that. But they're a better rebounding team than Houston. Houston has a high foul rate as well on defense, where Illinois has one of the lowest, so you have to win the free throw battle to get it done. But again, I think Houston's as bad of a matchup as anyone left for Illinois, and I'm taking Houston in that one, unfortunately for me. But moving on to the West region, we have Arizona and Arkansas.
I think Arkansas has got a good shot, a really good shot to beat Arizona, but I think Arizona gets it done.
Yeah, I agree. Arkansas has, you know, Darius Acuff.
He might be the best player in the country.
I agree. He can go off for 40.
Even though my dad still thinks Houston's freshman's the best player in the country.
Fleming? Yeah. He's good as well. Give me Arizona that one and a close one.
Yeah.
And then Cinderella, 11 seed Texas, playing Purdue.
Old buddy Cam Heidi, who hit a huge shot.
Same spot in the court, too.
Only shot he took that game, wow. I believe. Good for him. I have no ill will to Cam Heidi. I think Purdue gets it done, though. I've only seen Purdue beat Texas once. I've seen him lose to him twice. So
they beat him 2 years ago, right? Or was that 2 years ago? Or was that
St. Peter's year? Yeah. They've lost to him.
That was four years ago now.
I've seen him lose to him back in 2003 when T.J. Ford led Texas to the Final Four. Mm. They lost the second round game to him. And then they lost two in a home-and-home in 18 and 19 to him. Or not 19 and 20, two of them.
Wow.
18-19, 19-20 season, they lost home-and-home. But I'm taking Purdue. I feel pretty good about this one, which scares me because I've been burnt being overconfident going in the Sweet 16 before. So.
Give me Purdue. Texas has a very, very good big guy who is the maybe worst free throw shooting player
I've ever seen. Better matchup for Purdue than Miami even was. So
Miami's tough, and I think Jai Lucas will get him.
37 years old, and they got money. Yeah. So
they got money out the wazoo. Michigan against Alabama.
I think Michigan pretty easily.
I do. I agree. I think Alabama has no size compared to Michigan. Give me Michigan. Iowa State, Tennessee. Good for Tennessee.
They're annoying, but they're pesky. But I think Iowa State's playing too high of a level.
Give me Iowa State as well. And let's pick our Elite Eights here. I have Duke and Michigan State. You have Duke, UConn.
I think Duke.
I agree. Give me Duke. We both have Nebraska and Houston.
Houston.
Give me Houston. I think we both have Iowa State and Michigan.
Yeah, I'm back and forth with this one. My bracket, I have Iowa State.
Same.
It's tough for me to go against Michigan, but I don't want to take Michigan. I don't want to give you Iowa State.
This will be the J Man's Book of Prediction of the Week. Iowa State makes Final Four for the first time in forever. I think I like this Iowa State team, especially with Josh Jefferson back. They are they're like 40 minutes of hell trying to play. I mean, Illinois, I got to see them play them in the Sweet 16 2 years ago. A lot of the same guys are still there, too. They were able to keep some guys. That'd be
incredible atmosphere in Chicago.
It would.
Fan bases.
J-Man's Book of Prediction of the Week brought to you by Travis Watchering Insurance Agency for life, home, auto, business, renters, workers, comp, and farm insurance. Contact Travis 219-869-4561. Book it! And then we have Purdue and Arizona.
I don't like this matchup at all, but you got to beat good teams to get to the final.
Absolutely.
Four. And I'm like, Purdue's a two seed, so they're pretty good too. They can, if they're shooting well, which they have this tournament and in the Big Ten tournament, they can beat about anybody. I mean, they beat Michigan. Michigan's one of the best teams in the country. But at the end of the day, I'm sticking with my original pick from last week. I got Arizona.
Give me Arizona as well. Although I love Purdue's experience factor over Arizona because Arizona starts three freshmen. It's in San Jose.
Yeah.
So again, it's West Coast, but
it's not in Phoenix.
Both fan bases probably have to fly to it. So
yeah, and it produced, got a lot of graduates out on the West Coast too.
Yeah. So I think it'll be, obviously all of the Sweet 16, Elite Eight atmospheres are awesome.
So there's six Big Ten teams in Sweet 16. We have none of them make it the Final Four.
That's what we do.
That's what we do.
Yeah.
Because we're like, if our team can't make it, we're not rooting for any of the rest.
Exactly. I was rooting, even though it benefits Illinois to have Iowa beat Florida last night, if Illinois was able to get to an Elite Eight.
Yes.
I was rooting hard for Florida.
Sure.
Just because I can't stand Iowa. Iowa hadn't been to a Sweet 16 since 99. Now all of a sudden, first year head coach does it, something Fran couldn't do.
Yep, they're there in St. John's. I mean, they have to win two more games, but
they haven't been there since 99.
They haven't been there since 99. There's a lot of, like I said, Iowa State's never been. Of course, Nebraska's never been.
Yep.
So, which my wife's got Nebraska to 5-4. I laughed at it.
Ah, I know.
Oh, my gosh.
That seems like that's how it works a lot of the times, isn't it?
But. Yep. She's beating me in the bracket, so I can't say much. So
I didn't even have my wife filling out. She's been locked into the Illinois State NIT run, I tell you what.
I'm sure she has.
She has no idea what the NIT stands for.
That's fine. That's being trash anymore.
Yeah.
But nope, it's been fun. I think the trends we're seeing, like you said, I think Cinderella days are over. Mm-hmm. I think we'll get a couple upsets now and again, but even those, we're not going to get as many as we used to. I think that's a new trend for the tournament, and you're not going to get as many fluky winners, which really in the last 20 years, most time it's a one seed anyways. So
yeah, and hot take here, I want the best teams in the Sweet 16 and Elite Eight. I don't want a 15 seed St. Peter's playing for a Final Four bid against an 8 seed North Carolina anymore, you know, 9 seed, whatever they were. I don't know if they were that.
They were 8 or 9.
That's what I thought they were.
Yeah.
So it's probably for the best that happens, unfortunately. But and it, I know it's never going to happen because TV deals are so big, but it's getting to the point where you almost want the low majors to have their regular season champ in there, just to have their best team represent, other than, you know, a 4 seed, bad team that just got hot in their conference tourney going and to the NCAA tourney. Yep. But I don't think that'll ever happen.
And I'm still against expansion. Do not do it.
100%. There were such bad teams. Although Texas being one of the last teams in there in the Sweet 16, they kind of debunked that.
Every 5 years, we're starting to, or 4 years, I guess, starting to see somebody make a little run from the first 4.
Yep. But, there's no need for expansion. You'll just see worse teams in it. I don't want oversaturation either of it. I mean, I like the way it's at now, where you have the first 4, then you have the round of 64. I don't want a whole freaking bracket tournament go, you know, on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday before. Anything else before you get educated here?
I don't think so. I mean, good luck to your Illini, and
we'll see how it goes. Late tip off, and I'm very glad I'm on Central Time and not watching that thing at 10:05 Eastern time.
When it came out, Purdue's the first game 7:10, but I'm like, you know what? Rip the Band-Aid off. I mean, I'm going to be elated and pumped and ready to go, or I'm going to be
in pain and misery. 4:00
I know.
Start on the West Coast. It'll be sleepy.
I know.
Crowd. But
so.
Yeah. All right. On this day in 1946, who won the 8th men's basketball national championship?
46. I'm going to go with Holy Cross.
Oklahoma State beat North Carolina in an absolute barn burner, 43-40.
Woo.
Bob Kurland was MOP. 1948, Kentucky won their first ever national title. They beat Baylor.
First of many. I think that they have, what, 8, I believe?
Doesn't say.
I think it's UCLA with 11, then Kentucky with 8. I'm pretty sure on that.
Yeah. 1957, North Carolina beat Kansas 54-53 in triple overtime. 54-53. Wilt, though, Chamberlain of Kansas, was the 4th player to be named tournament MOP despite not playing for the winning team.
How many championships did Wilt win in his career?
I don't even know why you asked me that.
I'm going to look it up. I don't know. I thought. We talk about Wilt so much, I thought maybe.
1962, Bill DeWitt bought the Cincinnati Reds for $4.6
million. $4.6 million, that's pretty expensive nowadays, but I'm sure if he had his pick of the litter, it wouldn't be the Reds.
Although he did have those big red machine back in.
That's true.
1963, Loyola Chicago beat Cincinnati for the men's basketball championship. Yes, they have a national title, and Purdue and Illinois does not.
I was going to say, wow.
That hurts. 1968, UCLA won their second straight title over North Carolina. Lou Alcindor was named the MOP for the second of three consecutive seasons.
Yeah, he wasn't too bad.
Oh, boy. On this day in... some cricket. Who won the 1980 PGA Tournament Players Championship at Sawgrass?
Let's go with Tom Watson.
Lee Trevino.
He actually came to my mind, but darn it.
Ben Crenshaw. Who won in 81?
Tom Kite. I don't know.
Raymond Floyd.
I've heard of him, yeah.
Beat Barry Jackal and Curtis Strange on the first hole of a sudden death playoff.
Yeah, we're only the Masters is in 3 weeks, so.
Jeez, that's crazy. Yep. On this day in 1992, the Florida Marlins began selling tickets. Still haven't sold out. on this day in 1994, Wayne Gretzky set an NHL record with 802 career goals scored.
He's ridiculous. Just absolutely ridiculous. His statistics are... and a great one for a reason. Will won two NBA titles, one with Philadelphia in 66-67, and one with LA in 71-72. He was out of the league by 73.
Really?
So, yep.
That is going to do it for On This Day this week. Not, it's an okay one, I guess. There was a rock climbing one, but I didn't understand the terminologies or what any of the stuff meant, and that leads me to how far on a rock climbing wall do you think you'd be able to climb up
the wall, like at like the YMCA's and everything?
Yeah,
I might be overconfident, but I think I get three-fourths the way up.
I think you're way overconfident. I could get maybe two or three rungs up, two or three rocks up, and then I'd fall flat on my back scared to death.
My thing's, even though you're at the bungee cord, my thing's heights. I'm not a big heights fan, so that would be my problem. But I don't know. I've always, because the Y we go to, which we haven't been in a while, has one. And I've always been like, one of these days I'm going to try it, but never have.
need to set up a tripod and
I should.
Videotape yourself.
I should. But that is the On This Day list brought to you by Blue River Digital. Blue River Digital is a full-service smart marketing agency. They help businesses simplify marketing and grow with intention. Their focus is on systems, strategy, and long-term results, not hype or one-off tactics. They offer digital marketing, website development, graphic design, printing and direct mail, signage and vehicle graphics, corporate apparel, promotional items, and AI and automations. They work with small, medium, and large businesses spanning across the United States with a strong presence in Northern Indiana. Contact them today at 260-248-2749. See how they can help you and your business with your digital marketing.
So for those who were not able to tune in at the start that are watching us live, I gave Tanner a trivia question that he got right immediately because he had seen it yesterday.
I had seen it. If I had seen it, there was no way I couldn't have told you Illinois won a bowl game last season. And I have
South Carolina.
And I have no idea. That's right. I do remember that game now.
The women's team I thought was going to get
there. No, my women's basketball is bad.
Same. I honestly didn't remember that Illinois women's won a game last year. I know they won on, I think they played Saturday. They beat Colorado in their first round in the 10-7 matchup there, the 7. The question was what college team or what college has won a bowl game, an NCAA men's tourney game, and a women's NCAA tourney game in each of the past two seasons. And Illinois is the only school to do that. So credit Josh Whitman, who took over an athletic department that had a bumbling idiot, Mike Thomas, running it, and turned he's become a rising star, one of the stars of the Big Ten athletic directors. I don't even know what you call them. Cabinet. I don't know.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you got a question to holster for in 2 weeks. So
I do, and I don't think you're gonna get it. Webby texts me, and he's like, "Since I stole your trivia question, I saw this really difficult one."
Son of a gun! I hope I've seen it. Probably have it. In 2 weeks, I'd probably forget it, even if I've seen it. So
it's a tough one. But thanks for
the blame. So
thanks for watching the Tan and J Man show. We'll be back at it next Monday with both of our teams in the Final Four. Hopefully. At least one of our teams, mine, not Tanner's. Have a fantastic week, everybody.